Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana, and I'm here with Rose Marcus, and we are discussing the transits for the end of 2020. Hoo-ah. December 2020. Welcome back, Rose.
Oh, thank you, Kristen. Yeah, wow, end of 2020. Good riddance to it, eh?
Goodbye. Don't come back now, you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes. So anything you would like to announce before we get started?
Yes, I would. I'm participating in a symposium on the last weekend of November with the CIA, which is the Cosmic Intelligence Agency. So I'm doing a presentation on Neptune squaring the nodes, like 19 astrologers participating from all over the world. So if you want to find out more about that, you can check the CIA website or you can contact me and I'll fill you in, or check out my Facebook page. I have an ad up there for, or a poster up there for it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Neptune square the nodes, we will be talking about that. Neptune is about to station direct again. What day is that?
I don't have it in front of me right now, but it is the end of the month.
And it moves so slowly, so it's not like we're already feeling the craziness.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
So we are already feeling it. And especially in this country, I would say. And you are Canadian, so you're close enough, though. You're a stone's throw. You always know what's going on here. And so, anyway.
You know, I was just watching the news for a few moments, and it was talking about the pandemic. And it was, the person on there said that the amount of misinformation and disinformation, it's like a second pandemic going.
Oh, totally.
That was quite a statement she made, and I think that that can be applied to not only, the COVID situation, but what's going on there in the States with Donald Trump and, you know, all of his, statements around the election fraud, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and just the misinformation, if you think about it, Neptune is in Pisces, and it's squaring South Node in Sag, North Node in Gemini, and so it's this total distortion of the truth. And just everything is make-believe. We aren't even living in a world of reality here, and unfortunately, a lot of people are getting drunk on these messages. And, the thing that was the most alarming, in fact, recently I read an article in the at the school website, the School of Evolutionary Astrology, that was posted there by Rad, and it is about even some of these patients who are dying of COVID still refuse to believe that is what they have.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're dying.
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. So what happens for these people is that if they believe that it's true, then they have to disregard so much that was creating the structure of their reality, right?
Wow.
So anyway, that's just Looney Tunes, and I called it Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for any of those of you that have been on it at Disneyland. That's what it is. Zigzag, zigzag, all over the place, and it's just absolutely nuts. It's just loco.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Neptune ends retrograde on the 28th. It's 4:30 in the afternoon for us on the West Coast, Pacific time. Just for anyone who wants to know, and that Neptune squaring the nodes has been in effect for quite some time, hasn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
And it continues on at least until the end of February in a very tight formation. That's a really important configuration for evolutionary astrology, any planet that's squaring the nodes,
mm-hmm.
As I call them, the karmic axis. So, you know, we're at this kind of crossroads and threshold place here. And Neptune is all, Neptune in its own sign in Pisces is particularly strong. And it rules so many different things, but it's, you know, it's our exposure to. So what are we being exposed to? On the one hand, you know, the fantasy or the fiction end of things, and the other piece of that really not really having a secure sense of what the truth is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of those kinds of things. So, it's a very strange time. Neptune and Pisces rule the immune system as well too, and so
yeah.
On a physical level, and so they configuration is a vulnerable aspect as well too. So I've just been saying it over and over again. I'm sure you have been too, Kristen. This is not a time to be taking a risk on your health.
Mm-mm.
Right? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it just blows my mind. I don't understand why anybody would want to protest against wearing a mask, for God's sake. It's the simplest thing you can do, practicing that social distancing. What have you got to lose, right? Your life?
I love this doctor that always says this, Dr. Vin Gupta. He's out of Seattle, our University of Washington hospital there. And he says, you know, if you're complaining about a mask being inconvenient, what about dying in a hospital bed? Pretty inconvenient, you know? It's just like, really, you're going to complain that it's inconvenient or it's a nuisance. Well, I'd say getting sick and ending up in the hospital and not being able to see your loved ones is far more inconvenient, you know, so.
Well, yeah, and the fallout effects, too. We've heard it from so many people who have had COVID that they have permanent damage or, you know, long-lasting effects. You know, heard anybody mm-hmm. who has actually been sick? I know that there have been some mild cases, but there are an awful lot of people who you talk to them, they say, wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I was reading even just today was about a woman who was a nurse, frontline worker, got COVID, and only 48 years old, has children, and, she ended up getting, I didn't read the whole bit, but a double lung transplant.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
In order to survive it.
Oh, gosh.
Like the doctor was saying, you know, don't give me a little more time. She was on a ventilator, like, you know, basically could not survive without being on this ventilator.
Wow.
And so I thought that was incredible. Obviously, most people don't have the means, insurance, whatever else it is for that. But I think, you know, of all people who deserves a double lung transplant is a frontline worker.
You betcha.
Oh, I gotta say, she's like put her life on the line. The other thing that blew me away was at the Mayo Clinic, big time hospital shop in the U.S. I can't remember if it's in New York or Pennsylvania right now, I think. But something like 200 people have gotten COVID that worked in the hospital. I think about when I'm watching all of these doctors and nurses in the hospitals and they've got all their gear on, it just seems like it is so contagious. It's so easy. They're just immersed. They're like petri dishes there, you know? They're just immersed
yeah.
in this environment. As much as you want to, protect yourself, think you can protect yourself, it's that reflects the nature of this disease. And sad state of affairs.
Oh, yeah. And, I think it's, they're saying we're at the second wave is here. I can't tell the difference, really. I mean, I know that the numbers are spiking, but, is it the second wave or it's hard to tell where this is at. This month, in the month of November, we're just coming off the tail end of Jupiter conjunct Pluto. And Jupiter, of course, is, makes everything bigger, right? You know, and aligning with Pluto, I think that, and coming up to the end of the month here, November 30th, we have a lunar eclipse in Gemini, where the stars are right at a peak right now, right? You know, so we're at that peak of the numbers. The numbers are, like, phenomenal on a daily level. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just multiplying. There are places here in Canada, like way up in the north, where the towns are completely isolated, and they're getting sick up there, right? You know, and wonder, mm-hmm. like, how is this spreading? How is it spreading?
Right, exactly. I want to correct myself. 900 workers, staff members at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, of course, not. Yeah, 900 in 2 weeks.
That's unbelievable.
Staff members of the hospital. These are not, you know, patients that came in. These are patients that infected, or those people are, you know, getting sick elsewhere. But that, and meanwhile, you know, Trump is just throwing firebombs and trying to pretend, you know, that the election was a fraud, while, you know, 250,000 Americans have died already, and we're getting, like, it's something like 170,000 new people with the COVID every day.
Yeah, you know, and all the things that he's talking about, he really doesn't care about the fact that people are dying.
No, he doesn't care.
You know, 100 years ago, you know, Spanish flu, you know, that pandemic was sort of treated the same way in terms of people didn't take it seriously enough
mm.
the first time, so it was, like, way worse when it hit the second round, right?
Right.
And history repeats itself, and we should learn from it. It is amazing that most people, you know, that are protesting all of this haven't looked at that kind of information.
Well, you'd think that if you get sick as a protester that it might cause pause, but, you know, I think it will for some.
Yeah, in some cases it absolutely does not, right?
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Shocking.
The other thing I noticed in Georgia, you know, this is a big state for the U.S. We've got a Senate runoff of two Democrats and two Republicans. It's going to be very close. And there was this big meeting or fundraiser for these Republican candidates, and it was jam-packed with people. I mean, shoulder to shoulder, not a big room, and CNN had gone in there to try and cover it, and they left because it was so unsafe. Most people didn't even have a mask on. Inside, crammed, you're not even, you know, you're touching each other, you're so close. I mean, it's just outrageous. I just, you know, can't get over it. Sorry, I'm just on my little soapbox right now. But
yeah.
The other thing is that this Neptune squaring the nodes is, so the nodes are like 20. They move retrograde naturally. 18 degrees, Neptune is stationed at 18 degrees coming up here. So we've got to wait until Neptune then crosses those nodes. So that's like, we're talking January before that happens, at least.
Yeah,
maybe February.
It goes into the end of February where it's really tight, right? You know.
Wow.
Yeah, we still have to continue to be really vigilant, right? You know. So yeah, there's just so much unknown, so much up in the air, and it is not a time to be taking risk. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah absolutely.
You know, I just checked because I wasn't remembering how many people did die during the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And it was 500 million people, one-third of the world's population.
That's outrageous.
Talk about a culling effect. It feels like we are having that. I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, we've got these vaccines coming, so I'm not quite sure where we're going to land before that all happens. So right currently there's been 1.3, obviously, much smaller amount so far have died, but at the rate we're going, you know, it's worldwide, I think 1.3 million people have died or something. Still a lot of lives.
Well,
a lot of lives.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's a natural cycle of life, really,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that culling to take place. You know, it happens to, animals and insects, and, you know, it happens in nature. But it is shocking when it is your loved one.
Yeah, of course. It just brings it really close to home.
Oh, brother. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, you know, in terms of Neptune and Pisces squaring the nodes, another way to understand this transit is that it's really important that people are clear in their communications. Of course, the North Node in Gemini is about our words, and I can say I've personally experienced that this week, misinterpreting somebody's words, and the South Node being in Sag, Sag's interpretation. And so don't expect people to know exactly what you mean when you're saying something. Be sure to double check that what they you think they heard is actually what you meant to say. I can't stress this enough because it could really prevent a lot of unwanted emotion on both parts. And, you know, that's sometimes we can't take certain things back if choices have been made. So in order to prevent anything from, you know, falling through the cracks or falling apart or, you know, I would just recommend that you be super clear with people that you're trying to reach if it's something important now and in the next few months.
And by the same token, for yourself, you know, try not to take the ball and run with it too much when it comes to anxiety, fear, you know, all of the kind of the more negative emotions, paranoia and so forth, you know. You know, fear-based gets us going in the wrong direction, always.
Right.
You know, I mean, caution is advised, you know, wisdom, you know, let's be wise about things, you know, let's do practical things that are in keeping with, you know, with wise moves for yourself. But, not to project and to take that because of the ability for that miscommunication, I could take something you said and really take it to town when you weren't meaning that at all, and away I go and, you know, I'm lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important important point to come back, and really observation is really important. You know, look and listen. That's what we tell children to do before they cross the road, right?
I like that.
Stop, look, and listen, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Look both ways before you cross.
Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely. So that's a good thing for us. Yeah, and so, you know, coming up to the end of the month and we have a big holiday here, I'm actually surprised at how many clients I know that have gotten on a plane and traveled. And, of course, the U.S. Thanksgiving is one of the most traveled days of the year. But, again, I might be recommending that that's a bit risky for this time. And, you know, we're getting used to a whole new reality, and so the holidays are going to be a lot different this year, right? Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and, you know, all of that. And so I think that, again, you know, life is what you make of it, and your time is what you make of it, and it is really for, at this point, with Neptune squaring the nodes as well, too, some simplicity. Find your inner peace and try to make it as easy and as simple as you can. I mean, I think we're all getting used to the virtual reality track of, you know, being able to communicate via the computer and see our loved ones and so on. So if it's not necessary to put yourself in risk, please don't.
It's not just that, it's putting other people at risk, people that you care about. You know, I think if you can't do it for yourself, do it for somebody else, you know, that expression. Actually, we have canceled travel for Thanksgiving. And, you know, there's a lot of kids that are sad and really sad. And yet, you know, when you've got older relatives that are vulnerable, I mean, how sad would you feel if you, you know, something happened to them because of choices that you made?
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm concerned that with this Neptune squaring the nodes, that, of course, as we come into Christmas, you know, the hospitals are going to be log-jammed and experience log-jams and all sorts of other issues that we might be contending with. So, anyway, I would just say, like you said, don't let your guard down. Be smart this holiday season and know that you can play a role in that final tally. The Mars is now moving direct in Aries, And so while it's, you know, still slowly picking back up speed to where it really prefers to be, it is forming some really beautiful aspects to the nodal axis, which Mars is all about moving forward. It's about your will. It's about your choice making. And so while there's still this foggy, fuzzy energy with Neptune, we do have this Mars transit progressively building up speed, become more focused and determined and motivated and inspired for 2022. Are you there, Rose?
Yes, excellent. Okay. That was well said.
Okay, good. Okay. So, well, let's just move to a break and we'll come back and talk more about Mars, my favorite planet, by the way. We'll be right back.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Rose Marcus, rosemarcus.com, for those of you who want to check out her monthly forecast and anything else that she's got going on. And we were discussing Mars, now moving forward in Aries. I want to remind everybody that Mars is retrograde since around the 9th of September. By the way, that was the day the fires broke out here in southern Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah, everything caught fire on that day. So Mars retrograde, that energy can really create inflammation in our lives. And Mars in retrograde in Aries will invert the energy and point at areas of your life that need your attention, that are up for review. Mars is all about our evolution. It takes what's unconscious within the soul and it acts it out in the world. And so the last 2 months you may have been thinking about how you want to move forward in your life, and maybe you're feeling like things just aren't moving fast enough. Of course, in many respects they may not be able to with the pandemic in place. We also experienced and are still experiencing a high degree of inflammation within our political spheres, and so politics, pandemics, and planetary extremes. That is what 2020 has been about. But Mars did enter Aries the end of June, and it will not leave the sign of Aries until January 7th. It's like over six month transit versus 6 weeks. So it's important that you bridle this energy and direct your will in a way that ultimately benefits your soul, and that retrograde would have let you know what those themes were about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking about that Neptune square the nodes, you know, through the first segment here. And while that's still going on, there's been a lot of planetary shifts in the month of November. You know, we've finished off with Mercury retrograde. It still is kind of in shadow till the 1st of December. We've had Mars end retrograde, and it's just starting to pick up steam. You know, when a planet switches direction, ends a retrograde, it's slow until it picks up more energy, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just gathering a momentum now. The retrograde was a pullback, and, you know, if that was giving you some rethinks on things, you know, these impulses that were just kind of like, keep putting your foot to the pedal, but it's not going anywhere, now it will start to move forward. And in the month of December, it's there's some good aspects coming up. As we move to December 1st, Mercury advances into Sagittarius. Now, Mercury was retrograde in Scorpio and just at the tail end there in Libra, so it's been delayed getting to Sagittarius through until December 1st. And we have Mars moving through Aries right now in the final third of its six-month transit, which is really a long time. So this last leg of Mars is action-driven. So with the kind of the overarching of the pandemic, with this Neptune squaring the nodes and so on, these transits could really kind of catch you by stealth, I think. You know, the stars are on the move. Mercury's on the move. Mars is on the move. The eclipses, we have one coming up November 30th, which has already been operative in the sign of Gemini. And we have a total solar eclipse on the 14th of December. all of these are catalysts for getting that energy moving. And it's been very, very interesting how things have just switched over this just very recently with the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction finishing a whole transit. It's been going on since April. We're still in the throes of that. But here's the switch with the vaccine companies now announcing that they've got something viable. And there's just little switch on the Republicans, you know, now starting to come forward and say, well, you know, really we should maybe accept what's going on there and so on. You know, these little switches, these are little indicators of a momentum that is starting to pick up some good steam. On the 10th of December, the Sun will be trining Mars, which is, you know, it's moving along. But Mercury in Sagittarius, that's getting the motion going. And on the 14th of December, that total solar eclipse, Mars and Mercury are in trine. So both of these initiatives, Mercury, which has recently been retrograde, Mars, which has recently been retrograde, both in the sign in fire signs, which are instigating, launching, accelerating, you know, getting us on a move along, right? You know, so there's good steam from both of those planetary energies.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like the Mars transit will not be out of the shadow, what, till the end of the year?
Pretty much the end of the year. On the 23rd of December, Mars has still got work to do. It's not on a completely clear sail until it really gets out of Aries. So it's still a little bit traveling with the brakes on. It surpasses a square with Pluto on the 23rd of December. Coming up to January 6th, actually, Mars will move into Taurus, which is a slower planetary energy, but we also have in the month of December really a couple of very, very important transits to talk about: the advance of Saturn into Aquarius on December 16th, and the advance of Jupiter into Aquarius on December 19th. And on the winter solstice, the two come together to start a new 20-year cycle and a new 240-year cycle.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Jupiter doesn't enter Sag till the 19th?
The 19th, yeah.
I mean, Jupiter doesn't enter Aquarius, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on the solstice, on 21st, what was that cycle you were talking about?
This is really interesting because Jupiter and Saturn move in 20-year patterns, right? You know, and they are relevant to economic cycles. So, you know, we look at that for 10 years up, 10 years down economically, right? You know, and really interesting, earlier this year, at the start of the year, I gave a public lecture. And at that time, COVID wasn't a thing yet. I was looking at the Jupiter-Saturn because Jupiter was closing on Saturn for the year, right? You know, and that's traditionally a downturn, a recessionary influence. And yet the economists were going, yeah, no such thing as recession. Yeah, you know, our economies are doing well. We're flourishing. And then COVID hit and bang, everything dropped, right? You know, so it was all that kind of dynamic. But as we start with the Jupiter-Saturn coming together, we're starting a new 20-year cycle. We're starting this whole new trend. But what happens is that in those 20-year cycles, every 60 years, Jupiter and Saturn will come round to virtually the same place that it was. And in this 60-year pattern going around, forming, you know, every 60 years, so that's a trine position. So, you know, it'll start out in an element, and it's been going through the element of Earth, making these every 60 years a trine formation around the natural zodiac, right? After we hit three rounds of that, which is 60, 60, 60, you know, that's 100 and 120, on the fourth round, it starts to mutate. And so we're moving out of a cycle that has been earthbound for the past, it's 180 to 240, the last trine around the wheel starts to mutate. And so we're moving into the air element for the next 180 to 240 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is really, it's fascinating, you know, and I was listening to a lecture from a German astrologer who, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name, but he was talking about things like architecture, and it was fascinating. The last time this element happened was like the mid-1200s, and the architecture completely changed from the Earth element of heavy and stoic and plain to Gothic, where everything was going up to the sky, you know, like and that's just like one example of the switches. But, you know, it is a collective era, so it's a bigger picture collective era. And, you know, we're in the transition of the ages. It's a very, very important time to be alive on the planet, because we're all representing for the collective, right? You know, and we're moving through a transition of the ages, the ending of the age of Pisces and moving into the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is the age of science and technology, the age of AI, the age of climate change. You know, that's, you know, the direction we're going in. And both Saturn and Jupiter are moving into the sign of Aquarius, which represents all of that. Transition of the ages is a very long thing. It's not like, you know, an overnight thing. We're transitioning right now. That's why, as we've talked about, I think, in shows before, you know, the Capricorn archetype, it's the archetype of the 10th house, three-quarters of the way around the wheel. Capricorn is the archetype of time, and when we reach the Capricorn chapter, we're coming to the end of a long chapter and seeding for a future, right? You know, that's Pluto's transit through Capricorn, which we're experiencing right now. So we've got these, you know, smaller cycles, and we've got these larger cycles, and we've got these era cycles that are taking place, these world age cycles that are taking place. It's all, you know, synchronizing right now. That's why, you know, I was just watching the news quite recently. I was talking about, you know, we have a systemic racism thing. You know, here in Canada, the government has paid out like this massive $1 million settlement from the RCMP for women who've been violated by the RCMP, and the stories are like just ridiculous. You know, that systemic racism, and you know, all that stuff is going on at so many different levels. Mm-hmm. You know, we're bearing witness to this right here and right now. But that Jupiter-Saturn is a really momentous transit. You know, again, a new phase cycle. You know, like Jupiter-Pluto, actually, the day that Jupiter and Pluto conjoined, when was it, I think the 13th, 12th of November, wasn't really an outstanding day as far as newsworthy, I think. You know, a lot was going on, but, you know, a new moon, for example, you know, we don't really know what a new moon is about until we get a little further down the road, right? And the cycle starts. But suffice to say that there is really big stuff going on in terms of our collective evolution. You know, you and I know this because we study this stuff, right? You know, but cannot be restated enough times of how important this is. And it comes back to, again, Neptune and Pisces, what we were talking about earlier. You know, that's collective attunement. You know, that's mass consciousness, right? You know, and what I say about that transit, you know, because we're sitting right on this, you know, evolutionary precipice right now, is that you cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought, you know. And every thought that you have, it's a thought form, it's an energy form that's going out into the atmosphere there, right? You know, and we know that in very simple terms. I mean, that might sound very woo-woo, but, you know, if I'm in a pissed off mood and I walk into a room, other people feel it, right? You know, if I'm sad or something, you know, there's nothing really metaphysical about that. You know, like we're picking up that energy. Why would you not think that, you know, all those thought forms are also contributing to the collective psyche, to the collective...
Yes. No, exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, really, this is a statement of moving into the age of Aquarius. And, you know, for those who are, you know, soul workers or light workers or so on, I think we are going to have a greater understanding of how energy moves and how it works. And, how it can be harnessed, right? You know, I think that you know, just right now I'm just thinking about Atlantis. You know, that it was a whole thing about Atlantis knowing, you know, moving energy right through the mind, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
And so on. It's something that, you know, we're coming back to this now. Many people who never, ever, you know, believed in all this crap, this New Agey stuff, and this, like, Reiki and, you know, whatever, you know, are now coming into it and going, yeah, well, you know, I should check out that modality, you know, like, oh, maybe there really is something into, you know what I'm saying, right? You know, people are starting to recognize that, yeah, that energy is conducted, and we have to learn about how energy is conducted, and then we have to harness it for our greater good.
Mm, definitely. Okay, I like that. That speech right there.
My soapbox.
Yeah. Well, we will be right back for more or with more right after the break.
Podcasts to help you reach your positive potential. HRNradio.com.
All right. We are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus. We are discussing the transits for the end of 2020. And oh my goodness, it's a long list. I want to go back to the eclipse that's coming on November 30th, a full moon in Gemini. 2 weeks later, we have the total solar eclipse in Sagittarius, and as we always talk about with these eclipses, that two-week window, that portal window, a portal opening into who knows what's going to happen. You know, we have all sorts of things on the table. I'm thankful that Mars is strongly positioned to this eclipse. What do you think, considering that? You know, of course, we're going through all sorts of crazy things here in this country. What do you think that eclipse will produce in the U.S. politically?
Well, you know, the November 30th eclipse, like, what happens with eclipses is that they're as I've always said, that they're like a magnetic resonance. It's like plucking a string of a musical instrument reverberates over time, right? And an eclipse will start to energize before it happens. Now, this lunar eclipse on November 30th, I directly related it to the election. You know, it's Gemini, and Gemini, mm-hmm. Gemini Sag, and that's about voting and your opinion and all of that kind of stuff, right? You know, so that factored into it. Neptune is squaring the nodes. And during the this eclipse, we still have Venus in Scorpio, and we have Mercury in Scorpio as well, too. So we've got, you know, hidden elements that are going on there, right? You know, it's like something very, very potent. We still have Saturn and Jupiter in Capricorn. We have actually Pallas Athena there as well, too. Pallas Athena is a signature for politics, right? You know, and it's for the eclipse is 27 degrees of Capricorn, and Saturn's at 28 and Jupiter's at 26. So it's actually the midpoint right there of Jupiter and Saturn, right? You know, so that whole clustering of planetary energies. Mars is moving towards a trine with the south node, which is in Sagittarius. So I think that this eclipse is very descriptive of everything that we're experiencing. A moon in Gemini, the second wave. Moon in Gemini, more than one vaccine company coming forward right now. You know, moon in Gemini, it's multidimensional. There's many different things that are going on. The solar eclipse is really interesting on the 14th. Now, the solar eclipse is and lunar eclipses, you know, what we say about lunar eclipses is they tend to affect the personal and private life journey, and solar eclipses are more about world events. I'll just say that they're both relevant, depending on what they're doing. But the total solar eclipse, is more potent, a more potent new moon or new beginning, and something ends so something else can begin. And for this eclipse is a batch of things. First of all, Mercury in Sagittarius is trying Mars in Aries. You know, that's a building up influence. It's getting the momentum going. That's moving things forward. And we also have, very, very interestingly, Venus conjunct Juno, the contract asteroid. And I looked at both Biden and Trump's charts, and for Biden in particular, that Venus-Juno conjunction at 28 degrees Scorpio falls right on his natal Venus. Right, it's right on his natal Venus and Sun. which is very, very interesting.
Mm.
You know, so, and it's in the 12th house. In the 12th house, the Pisces archetype is the archetype of public service, right? So I think that that bodes very well for him. The eclipse falls in his first house, so, you know, there's a new beginning there. For Trump, it falls in his fourth house. And the fourth house is also a house of endings and beginnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's very interesting. And that Venus is at 28 degrees, squaring his ascendant-descendant, right? Mercury is, for this eclipse, you know, with the eclipse, Mercury is at 20 degrees Sagittarius. The eclipse is 23 degrees Sagittarius. That's a key person, right? You know, key person, key circumstance, key event. So I think that, you know, that kind of has the writing on the wall. And I do think of Venus as having to concede. You know, Venus is a giver archetype, right? You know, so it puts Donald in having to give, right? Or give up, perhaps.
Give up.
Yeah.
He's not going to give, but he may have to give up.
He may have to concede, right? You know, so that's a very, very interesting eclipse. And following the next day, on the 15th, Chiron ends a five-month retrograde in the sign of Aries, and Venus moves into Sagittarius. On the 16th is Saturn moving into Aquarius, right? You know, so we've got a whole lineup of transits. On the 13th, we've got Mercury-Neptune square, so we've still got a, you know, kind of a nebulous factor and an unknown factor. But from the 10th, we've got the Sun trine Mars, right? You know, so I think that from what I've heard, that Biden will win that electoral college vote, that he has enough right now to do that, correct?
Well, way over.
Yeah.
He's 306 and he needed 270, which is ironic because 4 years ago it was 306 electoral votes that Trump won by. It was the exact flip.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just think that Venus conjunct Juno on this solar eclipse, you know, that's, again, the fatedness of things, and eclipses are destiny-producing, as I say. Mercury conjunct that, you know, that's also a statement, and there's some planetary nodes in there. Sorry, I haven't got it in front of me right now, but I think there's a south node of either Venus or Mercury very prominent on that chart as well, too. So you can't underestimate the karmic potency of whatever it is that this eclipse is generating. Now, of course, if it's not hitting your chart directly, you're just going to notice, you know, the action out there in the world. If it's hitting you directly, you know, it is Sagittarius is a future-bound archetype. You know, it is launching your future in some kind of significant dynamic way. Mm-hmm. And again, the eclipses have a duration of time. A solar eclipse unlocks a 2 to 3 year cycle, right? You know, and so we don't feel that after the potency period of that, you know, the height peak of the eclipse, which is a month before, a month after, with a solar eclipse 3 to 6 months afterwards, but it continues on. And this eclipse also picks up, you know, it crosses another eclipse in 2023, 2024. I haven't really studied that far in advance, but, you know, that's relevant to the picking up steam on the next trajectory, right? You know, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very, very potent. But, you know, Sagittarius, I always think of Sagittarius as opportune, right? You know,
very.
You know, so it's got, I love that eclipse. I mean,
mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm looking forward to that eclipse because I think we are most definitely future bound. How that's going to be for you in your personal life, well, that depends on where you're at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's really, really, really important that we all get on board with the idea of moving towards the future and not holding on to the obsolete past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, there's no room for the past in the future with these transits.
Absolutely.
With all this Aquarius stuff. Clearly, Pluto is still in Capricorn for a bit, and that's because you can't just hit the delete button on something. You have to have a transition. So Saturn paves the way for that change, and Jupiter shows the opportunities that exist within the change, and then Pluto comes following. And then just, you know, that's that. There's just, it's a little bit like how I experienced this global warming reality that we're living in. Like, there's a certain amount of damage that we cannot recover from, but we're in this window now where we actually do have the power to change things. I recently was watching a Netflix series on the issue around water, right? The lack of water that Matt Damon is so involved in, and to getting clean water to more people around the world is a great new. It's called The Brave New World, was the Netflix series that I watched, and racing to solve our water crisis. And I highly recommend people check that out. It's really quite incredible what he's attempting to do, and the passion that he has for helping to resolve this, and the people he's connected with that are doing the same. But we think about all these glaciers melting, and the concern being that all of these ice caps, and in addition to, of course, the biggest concern, all these viruses and bacteria that have been frozen underneath, and once they get released, and the spores, and once they get released into the atmosphere, the different types of viruses that could plague our planet are real. Like, we have to be mindful of that. But also, I was learning that when the ice melts in places that it never has, water comes into the mountain ranges. It creates these cracks within these mountain formations that can cause them to literally fall down. You know, like an earthquake or an avalanche. Excuse me. So there's so many different things that we can be impacted by with this, the heating of the planet. And so this is such a major thing that must occur with this transition. And so, versus the naysayers that want to pretend that science doesn't exist, it's not real. So, I mean, that's something that starts to make me, like, shake at my core, my bones. But it is encouraging now with, you know, we've got to get behind this and beneath it and get certain people out of politics, and maybe we have a chance.
Well, you know, science is unbelievably exciting right now, and despite the fact that, you know, that's all very threatening and very, very real, you know, there are brilliant minds doing brilliant things today, and we do have to get behind them.
Mm-hmm. So many. All right, we will be right back here with Rose Marcus.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
So we need another hour for the next month, Rose. We really do. And, well, if you want to know more, you know where to find us. So we'll do what we can to guide you forward. And we just wish you all a happy Thanksgiving if you are celebrating that, Zoom or in your home. And thank you so much, Rose, for being with me here today again.
Absolutely. Same to you, Kristen, and happy holidays to everyone out there.
Yes, we'll be back next month. Namaste.